Jesus was given the task of being Savior, obviously, right? Redeemer. He was the Lamb of God who was slain for us. He took our place. He paid the price that we deserved to pay so that we could be released. Amen. Not only from the penalty, but also the power of sin. This is the awesome thing. See, a lot of people understand forgiveness, but they don't understand that there is power over sin. And God wants His people to understand who they are and the liberty that has been purchased for them through the blood of Jesus, so that we can walk in freedom. What He meant by freedom is that you are actually not to say that we do not sin, but to say that we are free from the power of sin. So sin is no longer our master because we're under new ownership. Amen. Jesus purchased us. He bought us with His own blood, and He bought us to set us free from the power or the influence of sin, so that we can live a life that honors God now by the ability that God supplies, not by the grace we give ourselves, but by the grace that God gives us, we are able to overcome. And so God is continually trying to get our attention away from depending on ourselves and depending on Him. So we're depending on Him, so that His ability is working in our lives rather than self-effort. Because self-effort will only get you so far and you will fail miserably. But God says, I've given you power, amen, by His Spirit to not only live in victory that He's purchased, but to be a witness by the way that we live our lives before the world. And so Jesus was given the office of prophet, priest, and king. It's a threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And with the priestly anointing, believers can offer these fragrant sacrifices of praise unto the Lord. With this priestly anointing, we worship the Lord. Amen. We offer petitions and we can offer prayers to the Lord. And so even as Jesus came and gave example to us, we also are to be Christ-like in that we are to also live and walk like Jesus did. So that means that we're also to function in this threefold office of priest, prophet, and also king. In Revelation, it says that God has made us kings and priests unto Him. Amen? And so the prophetic anointing is when we speak forth the words of God as He gives us the utterance or the ability to do so. So we are to pray, according to 1 Corinthians, that we might prophesy. Amen? That means that we might be a vessel that God can use to speak through. Someone once asked me, well, what is prophesying? I said, it's speaking the word of God as the Lord gives you that utterance, that ability to do so. Amen? Now, we know there are people who claim to be prophets. We're not talking about the office of a prophet necessarily, but we are as priests and as prophets. In that sense, we are to speak on behalf of the one who sent us. And that is the Lord Jesus. He told us to go in His name. That means to go in His ability or His authority and represent Him and His kingdom on the earth. And so we're also given the office of kings, little K's, not big K. Amen. He is the big K of little K's, the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. So with the kingly anointing, this is where God equips His church to fulfill the Great Commission. The kingly anointing involves the power and authority for us to expand the kingdom of God on the earth through the preaching of the gospel. So a king, if a king understands who they are and the authority that they have, they understand that they have the authority to command things and they will be, according to what they say, to make a decree and it will come to pass. If we do not believe in who we are in Christ, then we will not have any results. Amen? But we have to, by faith, believe that if God said it, that settles it. I have to believe what God says, and anything else is illegal. So God wants his people to know who they are. When Jesus had dispatched his disciples on their assignments, their temporary assignments on the earth, he told them in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What was he doing? He was giving them the ability to function in the office that Jesus functioned in. Why? Because they were under his authority. Amen? So if you are under his authority, you have authority. If you're not under God's authority, you do not have legitimate authority. You see, there are many people who are trying to take authority where it has not been granted to them. How many know that authority is something that must be granted to you by the king? You don't give yourself authority. There are people that go around putting labels on themselves, calling themselves prophets. And most of the time, when I hear somebody explain or tell me that they're a prophet, the flag goes up. Amen? Because if you are that, you don't have to explain to anybody, and you have to tell people you are. People will know that you are, because there will be evidence of that office. Understand? I don't have to have somebody tell me I'm a pastor, because there's evidence of that because of the gift of God. It's not about me. It's not of me, but it's of God. And God is the one who decides what we're going to do. Amen? So as a prophet, as a priest and a king, we need to understand that we are called to function in these three offices. But it's not as I will or as I determine, or I don't just wake up one morning and write out my own vision for my life and decide, well, you know what, I think I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to be a prophet, I'm going to be an evangelist, I'm going to be an apostle, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. No, God calls, God equips, and God sends. Amen? And if God has called you, God will equip you, and God will demonstrate that reality in your life. Amen? You won't have to tell people you're this or that. People will know, because of the gift of God that is in evidence in your life. Is this making sense? So you got to be careful about people that go around putting titles. There's some people, it's funny, they've got a half a dozen titles before their name. Now, who are you really trying to promote in advance here? Amen? This is not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about making Jesus famous, about making Jesus known. Amen? It's about glorifying the Lord. Amen? And not a man and not a woman. We get to do this. We get to bring honor to the Lord because we love the Lord, because we appreciate what he's done in our lives. And I want to love God back. That's worship. Worship is loving God back. How can I love God back? How can I give back to the Lord for all he's done? Well, it's impossible for us to fully give everything back to the God. Amen? Because it's called grace. It was undeserved. And you can't ever pay him back. But what you can do is you can say, Lord, I do have a body. I will offer this body to you as a living sacrifice. Amen? I will harbor and I will be a vessel that you can fill with your Holy Spirit and that you can use in the earth realm. And so God is just simply saying, yield yourself, commit yourself to me, give me your body, and I will fill you with my Spirit. And I will use you in amazing ways. I will demonstrate the reality of the superior kingdom of God in the earth realm through you, if you will but yield to me and trust me. You got to get out of the way. You got to get yourself out of the picture. You got to get past the part about, well, how will people perceive me? What will people think about me? Amen. Or I'm asking God for this power or this ability so people can look at me and say, wow, wasn't that something? Aren't you something? Come on, we're not about parlor tricks. Amen. We're not about shamanism or magic with a K on the end. Amen. We're here to serve the living God. Amen. And to make him known and to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand among you now. God wants to manifest himself through his body. But God says you must first get into position to receive the anointing. That means that we need to get everything out of the way that's in the way in our hearts. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If there's sin in your life, deal with it. Confess it and renounce it. Turn away from it so that you're in the position for God to use you in a greater measure. Amen. Because the level of commitment to God will be the level that He can use you. The more that we yield, the more that He can have us, the more that He can manifest Himself through us. Amen. But if we're full of ourselves and we just have our own agenda and we want to do our own thing, but we want kind of Jesus to tag along with us, somebody know that's not being Lord. Amen. He's not tagging along. He's Lord of Lords. He's Almighty God. And we need to submit ourselves to Him and be the vessels that He can use. Amen. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil. And you know what? In order for God to destroy the works of the devil through you, He has to destroy the works of the devil in you. Say amen or ouch. Amen. So He's working in us and through us. You understand? He's not. Don't wait until you're perfect. Amen? If you blow it, thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Thank God we can turn to Jesus. Amen? And He's there to defend us in heaven's court. Now, this story I love and I keep going back to it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I love this. Because in David, we see the kingly anointing. And this is what I really want to focus on this morning. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. I'm going to move up kind of quickly here. I'm reading from the New King James. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes, if I say it wrong, forgive me, Dummim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. In verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." How many know that this giant represents the devil? And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 12, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So what was David doing? He was just tending sheep. Do you see a picture of Christ? And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp." Now, listen, the fear of the people was understandable. Because in the natural, this guy was literally a giant. And the Bible's very clear that there were giants on the earth. And there's even archaeological evidence of that they're trying to cover up. But some of these giants were huge. I mean, they're finding femurs that are 6 feet tall, this high, just the femur. So these are massive, massive beings. And so, you remember when they went into the land where they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, they said, man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, guess what? They were the sons of Anak, and they were the giants, and they were like little grasshoppers in comparison to these huge beings. And so, anyways, in the natural, they have every reason to be fearful. But David had something going on in him that was different. What was going on in David was that David had a kingly anointing. David understood something about authority. He understood something about the ability of his God. And that if his God was with him, he could not be defeated about anything. Amen? And so here, they were fearful. And unfortunately, this is too often our reaction, isn't it? When we're facing some kind of giant in our life. You know, sometimes we're confronted with giants of false religion. Sometimes it's giants of fear. How about giants of guilt? Anybody ever struggle with guilt in their life? How about a fear of persecution? How about a giant of rejection? Rejection by the world. Sometimes people will compromise their values for fear of man, fear of rejection, because the giant appears to be so big, so large, so ugly. You see, what the enemy does is he works through lies and misinformation. David understood something about his God that the others did not. But the enemy uses lies to try to convince you and I that God's somehow not big enough to deal with your problem, to deal with the opposition in your life. But David had a kingly anointing, and he had faith that his God was able to give him victory over this uncircumcised Philistine. And then today in the church, so often, what we want to do is we want to hide out in the sanctuary, you know, and do our religious thing. Let's just play church. It's safer just to play church. When God is telling us, I want you to go out and I want you to possess the land. I want you to defeat the giants in the land. To me, there are no giants at all. As a matter of fact, the giants that God tells us to defeat are already defeated by the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus says, I have all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. As a matter of fact, every knee is going to bow to him, even those things under the earth are going to bow to the Lord Jesus. And so he said, I'm sending you out. I'm giving you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. I'm giving you this ability by my grace, my ability to work in you mightily. But you have to believe in your God. You have to believe that your God is with you and your God is for you and that your God is greater than the giants that you're facing in your life. It may be a giant in your health. God is bigger than that. Amen? Amen. And then we look at this in verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they did what? They fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Well, what's going on here? They're living by sight. Have you seen this man who has come up? Sometimes we look at our situation and the enemy will use that to magnify the lie so that we begin to put more faith in our problem than in the problem solver. Are you hearing me? We start to put more faith in fear than we do in God. He said, surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. How many know that Jesus Christ defeated, amen, the devil? Amen. And how many know that we're the daughter? We are the bride of Christ. In verse 26, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What is David doing? David is stepping out and he's making a declaration. He says, we will not tolerate this. We're not going to be bullied by our adversary. We're not going to in any way be intimidated by our enemies. Because our God is with us. Our God is for us. And who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Our God is the God of gods. He is the Most High. He is El Elyon. And He has all authority. All power has been given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go in my name. Destroy the works of the enemy. Take the giants out. I'm calling you to go and take the giants out. How do we do that? With the love of God. I've had some pretty ugly dudes right up in my face. They could have tore my head off. And I just said, Jesus, help. And I just said, you know what? I looked this guy right in the eyes because he was mad. I said something that he didn't like. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I saw this guy completely change from ugly rage to just a melt. He melted right there. There's no power greater than the love of God. Hallelujah. So we see really this contrast between David's reaction and the reaction of the people. See, David had the fire of God, the burning in him. Amen. And that holy anger said, you know what? We're not going to put up with this. A few months ago, I preached the message, remember, about let's settle this. And it's time to take back what the enemy has stolen from you. And quit allowing the enemy to beat you around, to bully you. Has anybody ever dealt with a bully or two in your life, maybe at some time, even as an adult? Amen? What's the best solution? How do you deal with a bully? You stand up to him. Especially when you know you could whoop him. And if we are in Christ and we have the ability of God, then we can defeat the bully. Because he's just full of fluff. He uses lies and misinformation to try to convince us that you better not mess with him. But if we're believing God, and we're believing that God is greater, and that God has already given us authority in his name, the commission to go, amen, and to preach the gospel to every nation, who's going to stop us? If God decides to take us home, we're going home. But you know what? John the Apostle, remember, they tried to boil him in oil. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. Why? Because it wasn't his time. How many know the safest place to be is in the will of God? Not hunkering down in your house or hunkering down in the church, hoping the boogeyman will go away. Amen? It's time to deal with the boogeyman. Because we've been given mighty power through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Know your God. And God has given His people the kingly anointing to decree a thing, it would come to pass. To speak, amen, into a situation and see it change. A king also has the ability to execute vengeance. Are you hearing me? Against his adversaries. and those who would oppose him. So here David is manifesting this kingly anointing. And he stood his ground and he makes his prophetic proclamation. He says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," what did he say? "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." This is how you deal with your enemy. You make the declaration, "No, this day the Lord will deliver you." And what did he say? "Into my hand." He put himself in there. Why? Because he knew who he was under the authority of God. You see, God chooses to use human beings. He chooses to use men and women, amen, boys and girls even, to do his work in the earth realm. And he said, "I will strike you, and I will take your head from you, and this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that what? All the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." What does God want to do? God wants to show that he is God. So he chooses you and I to represent him, to go in his name. And for what reason? So that people will understand that he's God. He is the Most High God. Do you know why people are bound in Satanism and witchcraft and all this stuff? Because the devil has convinced them that the devil has more power. Isn't it true? He's convinced them that the devil has more power. But you come in and you speak the name of Jesus, and the demons tremble. Because our God is the Most High God. He's the God of gods. That's the God we're serving. That's why the Lord said 365 times, right? "Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be strong. Be bold. For the Lord your God is with you." Be courageous. Your God is with you. Your God is for you. The devil wants to remind you of your past, remind you of your mistakes, get you into condemnation, so you start to doubt that God is with you anymore, that God cares, or God's going to take care of you. Amen? And he gets you into that place where you start to feel defeated. Why? Because you're listening to all these lies. And he tells you, "Oh, God's not going to come to your rescue. God's not going to help you. God's not going to be with you. You better not mess with me because God's forsaken you." Have you ever heard that voice? Well, we got to quit listening to that voice and start listening to the right voice. Amen? Because anything that goes against what God promises is a lie. The devil's a liar. Jesus is Lord. We are his people. We have been given the kingly anointing to go and represent him. For what reason? That the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. A greater is on the scene because God has sent his Spirit, amen, into the hearts of God's people. You know, sometimes we can look at this and say, "You know what, boy, it seemed like David is a little bit on the arrogant side. Saying, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to do." No, he was saying, "I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it in the ability of God." And for what reason? You see the motivation of his heart. Because I want to make God famous. That all will know that the God of Israel is the true God. Amen? It kind of reminds us of Elijah. Amen? On Mount Carmel. There was a showdown. Now, those 400 of them that were all serving Baal? And they were all duped into thinking that Baal was God and he had more power. So much so that they were cutting themselves and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And Elijah was just sitting there mocking them. "Maybe your God's asleep. And let the God who answers by fire be the true God." Amen? How long will you waver between the two opinions? How long are you going to waver between if God is, then believe him, amen, and live for him? And the showdown, and the enemy was defeated, and the Lord was glorified. See, David had a heart after God's own heart. David made mistakes, but David wanted to honor God. David wanted to please God. David was a worshiper of God. David was a man who sought God's heart. David was a man who wanted to serve the Lord with all of his heart. Are you hearing me today? I pray, God, give me the heart of David. I want that kingly heart like David. I remember a song years ago. Sometimes I'm Samson, with a strength to conquer anything. Sometimes I'm David, when my heart is right and I feel just like a king. Sometimes I'm Thomas, when disbelief takes hold. But oh, to be like Jesus is the desire of my soul. To be like Jesus is the desire of my soul. That all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. That the Lord, listen, does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. He made it very clear. It's not an if, it's not a maybe. He will. Oh, I feel it. You understand? Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He has all authority in heaven on earth. And He says, go in my name. I'll be with you. And I will manifest myself through you. And we will destroy the works of the devil. We will chase the armies of the enemy out. Amen. We will defeat the giants. And you will take territory for the king as his representatives. As His ambassadors, folks, that's what we're called to do. And we say, God, let it be done in me first. Defeat the giants in me first. Take the giants of pride down. Take the giants of arrogance down. The pride that would keep me from humbling myself and admitting that I am not all that, that I need you. I need mercy. I need your power. I need your ability to live for you, God. I am poor in spirit, and I am needy of your grace every hour, Lord. You see, the giant of pride will keep you from moving in the power of God. Why? God can't use us if we're full of us. So God works on us to get us over ourselves so we can be a humble vessel that will yield and allow Him to work and do the work. The world doesn't need to see us. They need to see Jesus. And if you and I are trying to do the work, you can't change. Have you discovered yet? You can't change anybody's heart. We try to make force change on people. Come on. Amen. All we can do is step up in our kingly anointing, and we can make a decree or a declaration over somebody's life. And we can speak that into existence. I believe that. That's what a king can do. When he decrees something and he declares something, it is as if it's already done. When you pray for the sick, you pray as though it's already done. And when you come against the enemy or demons, what do? You pray that, hey, this is not an option. You're out. You will go. You may have to struggle or wrestle for a season, but guess what? If we don't quit, you won't lose. Because God is greater. And God will defeat every demonic adversary. Now, hear me. If we are willing to confess our sins and renounce them, if we're willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this and position ourselves to be the vessel, then God will fill us with His Spirit. Amen? And God will use us to help others get set free. What a joy that is. Jesus, Lord. How many here are ambassadors for Christ? How many here realize that you have been given a kingly anointing? Not so many hands just went up. You understand today, folks, what God is trying to do is change our minds. He's trying to get us to repent in our thinking so that we start to think in agreement with what He says. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So I am a new creation in Christ. That's what I believe about myself. The enemy comes up a week later and says, you're not. Or an hour later sometimes. And that's when we go back to what God says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So I need to function from the reality, which is the truth, that I am actually a new creation in Christ. I'm not who I was. I'm a new person now. I have to simply yield to the Spirit of God, receive the revelation of who God says I am, and walk in that reality. And when that other thing tries to keep its ugly head up, that flesh, and tell you opposite, you say, no, that's not who I am. The old man is dead. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing what God says. The report that the Spirit of God gave when they went into the land. Some came back with an evil report. Said there's giants in the land. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit in them. And they said, we are well able to take the land. Why? God has promised it to us. We are well able to overcome this sin. God has promised us freedom. I believe I'm free. Are you free today? Walk in your freedom. Don't accept anything less than I'm free in Jesus' name. The power of sin has been broken in my life. Consider yourself dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Sin shall not have dominion over you anymore. Would you bow your heads this morning? God, thank you for your word. God's simply saying, give me all. Give me it all. Give me your life. Give me your future. Give me your present and give me your past. Yield yourself to me. Cooperate with me. Listen to my voice. If you'll reason with me, I'll blot out your transgressions. I'll purge your iniquities. I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put my spirit in you. And I'll raise you up. And I'll use you for my glory. But you need to give your life to me. You need to step over that line. You need to step into his arms right now. And right where you're at, I want to encourage you to surrender your heart. Surrender your mind. Surrender your body. Surrender your whole life. Forget about the past. Press into the new day. He is a God of new beginnings. Today is a new day. You can walk out of here brand new. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, move upon every heart. I surrender all to you, Jesus. I surrender. Just right where you're at. The devil, sometimes he tells people that, oh, it's been so bad. You've done too much. You've blown it too many times. God's tired of forgiving you. God's not going to forgive you anymore. God's not going to accept you anymore. The devil is a liar. God never gets tired of forgiving you. Just give it to him again. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry again. God, I give you my life. I can't do anything with it, but I know you can. Take me, Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Make me fully yours, Lord. Cleanse away all my sin. Just ask him right now, Lord, cleanse away all my sin. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.